Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Titan Q1 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhaskar Bhat, our Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhat.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining the conference. We have just concluded our AGM, and we are at Hosur. I'd like to introduce my colleagues here. With me are Dinesh Shetty, Company Secretary, Suparna from the Watch Division, CFO, Subbu, Ravikant, Ajoy Chawla, CK Venkataraman, Ronnie Talati, Nandu Nandakumar, and Vikas. At the AGM, the chairman announced the appointment of CK Venkat as Managing Director of the company effective 1st October. Congrats, Venkat, and welcome in advance to the board. The AGM, of course, as usual, was held in Hosur, and questions were mostly about the last year. So coming to Q1, I think we have sent you the presentation. Apart from the top line growing at 14% and the bottom by 7%, primarily the bottom line has been affected by two big impacts. One is the biennial business associates conferences that we have every year, an almost 40 crore impact of that. And we concluded our long-term, I mean, three-year wage settlement with our worker-level employees. That has also had the Q1 effect. And store openings have continued at a reasonable pace. The market had a significant impact on jewelry sales post 15th of June, and it was whether what triggered it, we don't know, but certainly it coincided with the rise in price of gold and thereafter the further impact of 2.5% customs duty imposed on gold. The other two divisions have grown well, but there are certain challenges we face in the marketplace, and the company is addressing those in the next few months in the quarter itself, second quarter itself, and we hope to continue to grow. A focus on growth and on cost is what is going to emerge in the next few months in the company. I think we'll start with the questions and answers. Questions?
Before the questions, I'd just like to take the opportunity to thank Bhaskar on behalf of all of us for more than 30 years in the company and 17 years at the helm of the company as Managing Director. Guided us, mentored us, and created what is uniquely one-of-a-kind institution in the world of business, and this is his last official investor call, and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank Bhaskar and maybe say give an opportunity for some of you to say over the call thanks to him as well, so thank you, Bhaskar, on behalf of all of us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Venkat.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, first question is, if I see the studded share, that has been fairly stagnant over the past few quarters, definitely, and maybe past few years. In spite of very high gold price, it's not moving up. While the stated goal is to do that, and especially in the light of high gold prices, that's easier. So what's the reason why it's not gone up? So is the sentiments weak? Is that the reason?
Actually, Abneesh, just to clarify, our stated goal is not really to increase the studded share. I've said it a couple of times in the past calls that even between FY, you know, 7 and FY 12, at that time the stated goal was a substantial expansion of the studded share and the EBIT expansion expected to come through that. But the leverage in the business of some 3 or 3.5x actually took us to the EBIT levels that we wanted to do without actually altering the studded share. So even today, our emphasis is studded growth and not studded share, because we are emphasizing a big drive in the wedding business, which will anyway keep the studded share perhaps at the same level. So in the last many quarters, the reason for that is that, and it is likely to continue because we are continuing to push weddings.
And sir, Carat Lane 60% growth versus jewelry physical overall sales growth around 13-14%. So, is there any downtrading which is also driving all this, or is it just that the fact that still you are expanding in Carat Lane through the physical stores also, and it's still in initial years? Is that the reason why it's such higher growth in?
Actually, because first of all, the actual growth of retail is 16%. Whereas what you're seeing is the, you know, the primary sales growth that the company reports. And so that 16 has to be compared with the Carat Lane figure firstly. And secondly, the price point of Carat Lane is nearly a fourth of Tanishq. So there is no question of downtrading happening here. It's a very different segment. That segment at that price level is also not so much affected by the price of gold. That woman's view on the matter itself is very different. Very low market share or very low, you know, sale-based, chasing an opportunity which is very large. Very large opportunity in online. We have done exceptional work in lower price points and all. So there is no connection.
And so final question, in watch business, this TCS large sales was there. So could you quantify in terms of the EBITDA margins, was it broadly similar to the watch segment, and how large was this in terms of sales? And similarly, in terms of the dealer commission, dealer event which was held, does it also help in sales, because this is held in alternate years? So in the year in which it was held, is there any benefit in terms of sales also, because there is more motivation in general?
On the TCS order, see, we have a separate structure for corporate sales, we have a margin structure based on quantities. So different slabs are there. So it was in line with what we offer to other large institutions. However, it may not be as high as what we would make in our own exclusive brand offering. On the BAM, which is our business associates meet, it is like advertising. It has a, you know, an impact, and in fact over a period of time it is about connecting with all our business associates, sharing our business plans with them. There may be no direct impact in sales in the following month or the following quarter.
Also, these people have been, one of the big assets we have are those relationships which have been around for between 5 and 30 years, and it is an investment worth making to keep their spirits high, alive, and across businesses, they have stores for us. Therefore, it is a very important event every 2 years. It brings the company people together as well as the associates with the company. Of course, business is transacted, as Ravi pointed out, in the form of sharing of plans and their sharing of their concerns, so on. Yes, there is a impact, like Ravi said, like advertising.
Sure. Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhi Mehta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, just wanted to kind of understand first, you know, you are investing in innovations to drive up growth rate, but given the slower growth that you've seen in first quarter, would you revisit your guidance on the jewelry segment for FY20?
As far as, hi Abhi, as far as H2 is concerned,
yes,
we are staying with our you know, annual growth level, which is in the 20% plus range, whereas mm-hmm. obviously H1, because of the performance in the first few months, will end up certainly being lower than you know, what we originally thought. And yes, the conditions are less conducive to growth than when we began, and obviously the company and the people have to innovate rather more to actually make this H2 numbers happen, but we are gunning for it. We are not setting our sights lower.
Sorry, on this one, just a follow-up. You said H1 would be impacted. Is July also kind of a cause of concern?
Yeah, actually, to just clarify, the growth in Q1 was 16% in retail.
Correct.
Which you have seen as 13% in, you know, the company sales. July has been actually the, I would say, almost as bad as June. I mean, the second half of June at least. But we are starting to see some early green shoots end of July, early August. But we expect August to be also a little muted. But September is going to be a big thrust month for us. And then thereafter, Q3 and Q4.
Okay. And secondly, sir, you you know, just on the custom duty bit, you know, is that resulting in price competitiveness of unorganized rising? Is that the challenge that you were referring to, or is there anything else that you?
No, actually, the level of price of gold.
Hmm.
If you see the month of June itself, the price of gold rose substantially. In fact, it rose by more than the customs duty increase in the month of June, and further by the customs duty increase sometime during the month of July. So it is more the price and a little bit of volatility on the price that is keeping people worried and away. It's nothing to do with smuggling and increasing competitive advantage of the informal sector.
Okay. And lastly, on the Ind AS adjustment, would you be able to share the segmental margins impact for the jewellery?
The impact, Avi, the impact on... on Ind AS 116 segmentally has been sort of uniform almost. So the impact, so there will not be any major segment, impact on any particular division. Okay. Overall for the company, the PBT impact was 2 crores.
Hmm.
And of that, it was about 1 crore or something for jewelry division. That's about it. So it's not, it's been uniformly low, fortunately.
Oh, so I mean, I should kind of just, the margin that we see is more or
yeah.
less...
You can ignore it. 116 is not a bad impact.
Okay, and lastly, thanks a lot, Bhaskar, for always sharing your thoughts, not just on Titan, but also on the consumer sector. It was always very great interacting with you, and look forward to doing that even after this.
Thank you, Abhi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Gutka from Philip Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats Bhaskar sir. Just two questions. One thing is on the Golden Arrow scheme, sir. We have hit the limit. So how do we plan to start the fresh enrollment? Do we plan to give more incentive to customer for faster redemption?
No, Golden Harvest is something which the limit is an annual limit. Okay, it depends on the net worth of the company as reported by us after the final accounts are over. So now the limit has gone up again. Okay, so we don't see a problem for some time for sure. Okay, yes. After that, we may have to be far more innovative in terms of getting maybe redemptions up or earlier. We look at something else. Yes.
So this limit will be based on FY19 net worth, right?
That's right. Every year it will get restated.
Okay. There should be 25% of the net worth. That is the limit, right?
That is right,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. Sir, the next question on the wedding side, wedding jewelry side. Can you just throw some light what percentage of jewelry revenue is coming from wedding and how has been the growth been in this quarter?
The growth was a little less than expected in Q1, Vishal. Even though the number of days appeared to be better than last year. And we're expecting, at least in the second half, where the number of days is markedly higher, to play off more. So to that extent, there was only a marginal shift in the share of wedding in quarter one and nothing substantial.
So you're telling basically the growth has been slowed this time for wedding jewelry, right? For 1Q?
In Q1 was not like expected. And in a way, it kept the overall growth also below our 22 that we were targeting.
Okay. Sir, it would contribute around 25 to 30% of our jewelry sales, wedding jewelry sales?
Of the, yeah, of the total roughly.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Maheshwari from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone. My first question is, you know, the earlier question, the GHS limit of 25% which you mentioned, why did Subbu, you have called it out in your presentation if, because I thought, you know, you, the presentation clearly says that you have hit the regulatory limit in this quarter. So what does that mean then?
So Vivek, we hit the limit in the month of April, okay? Then we filed and June is when we got the limit back. So till then we were actually hitting the ceiling. That is the problem. So what happens is after the accounts are over, we need to file. We need to get it audited first.
After
there is a certification.
Signed, no?
Then there is DPD3. We have to file, and there is ROC 30-day limit. And only after that do we get.
So it was still operating on last year.
Yeah.
Essentially,
yeah.
That is the problem.
Till then it operates on the previous year's limit.
So as of now, let's say July, August, what is the limit is higher.
Now we don't have a
gain. No, I'm saying what is the benchmark? Which balance sheet is the benchmark or which net worth is the benchmark?
The current balance sheet. The current balance sheet is the benchmark now.
Okay, okay. So, I mean, from a FY20 perspective, is there a risk, you know, of you hitting the limits again and therefore, you know, GHS being lower than what it should otherwise contribute?
Yeah, we will hit the limit.
We hope.
Yeah, but we should try and manage. All we are saying is we'll try and manage if we can redeem further, but we will hit the limit otherwise, yes.
Okay, okay, I see. Second,
recruitment, yeah.
Got it. Okay. And second bit on the, you know, with gold prices further moving up, Venkat, I understand that, you know, while you are, perhaps you are being hopeful for the second half, but is there a risk of not hitting 20% plus mark that you were foreseeing? Because at the time when you gave the guidance, macro was perhaps looking much better than what it is today. Is there a risk of a miss here?
For the full year, yes.
Yes.
And I would say a reasonable chance, to be frank, because we're talking about blended H1 and H2, H1 being, you know, significantly lower than the guidance for H1. But H2, two reasons. One is that, well, the macros are certainly more challenging, but obviously it means that we need to innovate that much more. Whatever we do has to have the potential of working that much harder. So the teams are currently at work on, you know, figuring out big ideas, which I cannot share for obvious reasons.
Sure.
Therefore, one is hopeful. The other is a certain level of confidence that, you know, the gold rate also is, now after a while, things change. People's reaction to the gold rate also changes after a few weeks of sort of perceiving it. So all that we expect to come and play in our favor. But sure, there is always a chance, but we are quite confident of, you know, trying to hit that 20% plus in H2.
Sure. I mean, the only reason of asking you this is while, you know, you have always been innovative and but the issue is if consumer sentiments are weak, those are weak. So if consumers are not opening the wallet, there may, you know, even despite your effort, consumers may not still, you know, buy as much as you would want them to, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you may be right. I mean, you may turn out to be right, Vivek. I'm not arguing. I'm only saying, because of the very low market share we have, despite that flagging consumer sentiment, the space available for us to grow is there. So it will finally depend on how effective our innovations are.
Okay, sure. And lastly, Subbu, if I can ask you something from the annual report, if possible. Annual report, somewhere in the, you know, opening pages, you have mentioned total gold processed as 34.7 tons and gold recycled as 18.87. So gold recycle means what? It is the barter, the exchange?
That is exchange program, yeah.
No, plus if we have brought back some gold from the stores.
Yeah.
We would have brought some gold back from the stores, old stock, after 1 year, no? There is a certain program, so it includes what GEP and T.
GEP.
So what we buy back from the customers, Vivek, plus what we actually recall back from our stock, which is old stock, melted, reprocessed. That's what reprocessing, and then convert it back to jute.
Yeah, because I was, you know, when I divide 18.87 by 34.7, that number comes to 55%, which is not the exchange. So it is essentially the old designs which are not moving. That's why that number is looking high.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. All the very best. And Bhaskar, pleasure talking to you always, and wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Amit Sachdeva from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Congratulations, Venkat, and thank you, Bhaskar, for being there. It's been a great pleasure to interact with you. My first question is, again, when I look at, the next quarter, Venkat, is obviously the base is very high. And if I recall Q2 last year, the gold was also grew very strongly, hence the margins were lower in the mix, although it was a studded quarter, if I recall correctly. But then if the gold price has been the cause of lower sales and it has rallied further, and on top of it, 2.5% in custom duty also would add some part to it. Doesn't it seem like that the asking rate for H2 would be so high if H1 is weak? Why not you probably say that this probably might be a, why 20, why not 18, why not 17, and we sort of try and make it more realistic? Or otherwise, we sort of see that as a number which always adds seen as whether it's doubtful will be doable or not. What's your thought on, say, July? And obviously, you know, promotion has just started. And probably, if I recall, promotions typically first 15 days are the very ripe one where maximum sales happen. And what's your reading from the initial days of first 15 days of started promotion? Does it give you confidence that H2 will recoup what H1 is losing? I'm sorry for this long-winded question, but you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I understood you completely. On the first point, just to clarify, we are not taking the shortfall of H1 into H2. If that was the understanding that you ended up getting through various answers of mine. The shortfall of H1 will remain and will be forgotten at the end of H1. The target for H2, which is the growth similar to the 20% plus of which H1, we are holding. That's what I said. Reason is that, we have seen typically that some of these things, particularly because gold is a store of value product, so, the sentiments end up improving sometimes, that's one. The second is H2 is nearly 60 days away, and the teams are working on big ideas to move consumers in an environment where they are not feeling particularly strong about, buying. So therefore, just to restate once again, we are not carrying the H1 shortfall into H2. The H2 growth is the original H2 growth that we had targeted. On July itself, July is muted, like I said a little while back. The targets for August and September are stacked much more in September and less in August. So to that extent, the target for August and the early signs of August are sort of close for us not to worry so much yet about whether September will happen. And obviously, as we come closer to the end of August, we'll have a better sense of whether we are being, optimistic about, September.
Okay, so if I'm getting you correctly, probably H1 is sunk and H2 is 20. Whatever H1 will do, but H2 will do, at least target is 20 plus. Is this the correct understanding?
Exactly.
Perfect, perfect. That is great. Very, very helpful. My rest of the questions were answered. Thank you so much, Venkat. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Shah from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My first question is on the World Gold Council data which came out for last quarter. The jewelry offtake was very strong for the quarter, and it seems that we haven't really gained market share in this quarter versus the rest of the industry. Now, I understand it's only one quarter, so hard to draw conclusions, but what is your take on market share gains more near term at this point in time?
Actually, on the basis of our own understanding, every month, we have a network of contacts across multiple cities in the country where we get to understand competition performance. And if I go by that understanding for Q1, this 12 is not gelling with that, to be honest. But I just saw the 12 in the yesterday, and I'm not commenting any further on that. But if I were to just take the Tanishq growth in the last many quarters and take it against the growth rate which the same report mentions, we find the difference between Tanishq and the industry growth as reported by WGC is substantially higher. Tanishq is outstripping the industry by a big margin, except for Q1, where the 12% is shown as the industry growth, and in our case it is 10% in terms of grammage. And I'm not clear on what is the building block that WGC is using on the demand side, because the demand is very complex. Normally they deal with imports, which are precise, but demand I don't know. But all our understanding is that we continue to gain market share across the country.
Right, that's clear. Okay, so we probably need to track this for a few more quarters. Coming back to the growth rates in the last quarter, would you say that you ended June with declines of double digit in the jewelry business after the impact of the gold price was fully factored in, at least for the month of June?
The month of June?
Yeah.
Kilograms.
No. For the month of June was 9%.
Revenue growth, would you say, was down double digit in the jewelry business?
No. We grew 16% in the quarter, and we grew 19% 2 months, which is April plus May together. And there was a growth in June, but a muted growth of 9%. So the 19 plus 9 translated to a 16% for the quarter. And in that 9, the first half was an exceptional growth, and the second half was a decline.
Okay, so second half was a decline?
Yeah, if you look at
and
the
July,
growth rate,
you believe. Okay, so July, you basically believe that will mirror the back half of June, or has mirrored the back half of June, basically.
Yes.
Got that. So it's a decline. Very clear. The second question was, Supu, the 37 crores inventory gains which you had or loss which you had last time, is that been reversed this quarter?
Partly, around half of it.
Around half is okay, and
even the net impact, okay, because we took that back, but some other thing happened. But the net is about half of it. Yeah,
net is half of it. Okay, and finally, could you quantify the TCS order on the watch business revenues? Has that order been completed, or is there more to go?
There is more to go. I think we've reported that we've done 56 crores so far. So most of the order is done, and some part of it is left, because it's a global order, and it has to be shipped to employees all over the world.
Okay, all right, got it. And final question, sorry, one more, is that on the margin front, you maintained in the past that you strive to keep margins flat. If it expands, that's great over the long term. But for F20 flat, would that same margin view hold even now, given what happened in the first half of the year?
For the company.
Yeah, for the company.
For the jewelry business, actually.
Jewelry
business, yeah.
It's too early to comment on that, honestly, because we are, if I were to elaborate on the same point, and Subhu and I have spoken about it many times on this, which is our first and most important objective will be growth.
Correct.
Yeah. And thereafter, maintaining margin, and if we achieve the growth, reasonable chance that the margin expansion will happen. So now growth is under pressure, and therefore we will invest in growth, but at the same time, try and make sure that the margin doesn't dilute.
I think that holds for the other businesses as well. As in, I think we are, we've seen this headwind and consumer sentiment, etc. But we are in that unique position where between our brand and our footprint, we are way ahead of competition, and we should gain rather more if there is a consumer sentiment impact on the categories that we run. We should gain more or lose less. So growth has to be a primary target as far as we are concerned. Therefore, we won't stop investing, whether in brand promotion, new product, or store expansion.
Thank you, Bhaskar, and thanks a lot for all your interactions over the last many years. All the best, Venkat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Good evening, friends.
Good evening.
My first purpose is to give a very emotional bye-bye. We won't be having Bhaskar on the calls again. I'll really miss him. And congrats on a good performance in difficult times. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rakesh.
Thank
I'll miss you as well, but we'll meet socially.
No, market is end of era, yaar.
Thank you very much, sir. The next question is from the line of Aarti Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, so this is Harith here. Two questions. Firstly, you know, just wanted to understand on the expansion side, for this year, for Tanishq, would we expect the expansions to be a little bit more back-ended towards the year? The first quarter has been slightly slower. Just wanted to get a sense on that.
Yeah, we have a target of 70-plus stores, really, really ambitious target this year. And we could do only 12, significantly less than the plan for quarter one. We expect to do a little better in Q2. Currently, we're looking at a 15-store, setting up 15 stores in Q2. So 27 by H in H1, which from a pro rata basis, substantially more than last year. And that 70 is still on our sides. We've not changed the view on that. So I think I'd be in a better position to speak on the full year in November. But we are, you know, pretty confident of getting close to 30 by H1, end of September.
Got it, sir, got it. The second question is similar to what I had asked in your earlier call as well. From a franchise perspective, are you, witnessing, any kind of complaints from them in terms of, liquidity or anything that, you can talk about since you have such a large franchise network and we are hearing about, liquidity constraints in the channel, not for jewelry per se, but in general. So, anything that, you're seeing, not only for yourself, but also in the industry?
Franchises.
Liquidity?
No, not really. Some of the distributors are having liquidity issues and we are seeing if we can support them to some extent, but not franchises of our EBOs.
Okay. And this would be a similar experience for jewelry as well? No real challenges there?
Yeah. Actually, our performance has been better in the medium and smaller towns in Q1, and that's where most of our franchises are sitting. So as long as sales are good, there's no issue. Plus, overall prosperity of the franchise is pretty high. And therefore, a few months here and there, even a couple of quarters here and there is not going to unsettle them. They're, healthy, wealthy people.
Got it, sir. Wish Mr. Bhaskar but a great future and all the best to you, Venkat, as well. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Venkat, in past when gold prices have had such sudden spikes, I remember you calling out that increasing prices of gold scenario has always hit overall revenue more than the falling prices scenario. So keeping that in context and current scenario, would you be benefiting from this trend in, let's say, second half or later part of the year?
Typically what happens is that people get spooked when it rises too much in a very short time. It also is a little volatile. And they pause for a few weeks, wait for it to settle and then come in. That's what has been the trend in the past. And we are hoping that that will come back soon, particularly late September onward.
But do you suspect this to be one of the key reasons for the slowdown that we witnessed?
Certainly. It becomes a little difficult to quantify, but it is so coincidentally aligned with, the performance drop in H2 of June and continuing poor performance in July. It's so coincidentally linked that it cannot be a coincidence.
Great. And thanks, Mr. Bhaskar. It's been a pleasure talking, listening, and learning from you. Wish you all the best for your next team. And all the best, Venkat.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned that gold is just like store of value product. With an increase in gold price, are you seeing any increase in demand for gold as an investment? And how big is the contribution from gold coins?
not really seeing that because we have defocused on it for many years now, and it's in the 3% or something like that.
Sure, but with increase in gold price also, you're not seeing any traction, incremental traction.
Not sure.
And with the gold price, like its steep increase, in these times, would you look to maintain your gross margins or would you be okay to operate at slightly lower margins to drive volumes?
It will be a very dynamic market-to-market kind of approach on this, because if the industry operates in a particular way, then we'll have to look at that and accordingly do rather than, change our pricing approach. And unless we communicate in a very visible and intense manner, people won't know, and otherwise you're just giving money away.
I think what we are saying is we won't deliberately want to drop gross margin, but growth is a primary objective, and what can get us growth without giving away in a way discount is, there is a fine line between the two, but the objective is not to give away all of the gross margin just because we are in some challenged growth situation.
So for making charges, would it increase in these times or
it
would increase. Okay.
Challenge, but it's a challenge, but I can't help it also.
Sure. Thanks. Wish Mr. Bhaskar Bhatta all the best and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikita Maheshwari from JM Financial Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Richard here. Thanks for taking my question. I just have one. Thanks for taking my question. This is Richard here. Based on a very long, period of experiences that that you all have with seeing growth accelerate and decelerate and so on and so forth, that you would have observed in the last several years. To put it in context, the growth recovery in recent years when it had come, it came all of a sudden, right? I mean, from 0 to 4% growth that you had, it suddenly accelerated to 50% in Q4 FY17, and then now also suddenly from a very high growth rate, it's come off quite sharply. My question is, do you look at any lead or lag indicators around you to help you better gauge demand condition going forward and plan accordingly? And similarly, when you talk about the hope for a 20% plus growth in H2, to gauge whether that hope will materialize, what would be the indicators, be it economy, be it other consumption items, etc., that you will look at to gain confidence that will actually happen?
Hi Richard, we do frequent and deep consumer research to gauge the sentiment around buying in general and buying jewelry in particular. And we have done that in February, March of this year to get a sense of the first few months. And if you see, like I said, till 15th of June, we grew 22%. And then in the next 6 weeks, it just crashed, the next 6 weeks sales. And now we have again done, and there are some indicators that people are waiting and watching, and in the next 2-3 months they are likely to come back into the market. And obviously at these gold prices, lighter jewelry is an opportunity, and therefore if you were to market that or exchange is an opportunity because people are maybe a little starved of money, and therefore getting them to use their old gold is an opportunity given the stock of gold. So we certainly keep doing consumer research to both understand and build our near-term customer acquisition strategy.
And the research, last research, didn't indicate any such sudden. So what Venkat said earlier, coincidence is too coincidental to ignore. It is the effect of price. I mean, it is quite a significant, and volatility. It happened so suddenly, and also it happened at the end of the wedding season, So there was no real reason to go out and buy, no occasions to buy. So postponement is the obvious choice people would make. Wait and watch would be the approach. So I think our bet on the future in terms of gold be still being a desirable item, aspirational, low market share, migration from the unorganized to us, all those
don't change.
And Richard, I mean, just to emphasize the point that Bhaskar is making, you know, we are in a quarter call, okay? Now, FY18, we grew 20+. FY19, we grew 20+. FY20, you know, 75 days, we grew 20+. So, from a, I mean, we need to also see it from a slightly going concern concept rather than from a quarter thing. Because the fundamental opportunities are still there, the market size, I mean, all that Bhaskar mentioned, I won't repeat it. So, the fundamental opportunities are still there.
No, there's no doubt about that. I was just trying to get a hang of this quarter or half yearly call. You know, now that we have the benefit of hindsight, you know, when your growth accelerated from that 0 to 4%, you know, sometime towards the middle of FY17, you know, suddenly to 50% in Q4 FY17, would you have you know, done a post-mortem of you know, how these kind of things suddenly you know, came about? I know demon and you know, unorganized to organized was one, but you know, a growth from 0 to 4 to suddenly 53-54 in 2 quarters time, you know, is a big swing.
I understand.
So,
but if
is there any specific reason for that?
If you go back and sort of recollect the engines of growth that we keep talking about every year in the conference, from wedding to high value diamond jewelry to golden harvest to middle India to GEP to increasing market share in low market share cities. So there are 6 engines firing. So as the engines, each engine starts sort of firing more and more aligned with the, you know, the earlier engine, or all cylinders, that's the right phrase, then you get a multiplier effect of that, which takes that 4 to the 15 and the 20 and beyond that. Now when the conditions for that firing are poor, as today, despite the engines firing, the results don't come.
Okay. All right. Thank you, and Bhaskar, wish you all the best, and I hope I get a chance to catch up with you once before you you formally step down.
Thank you, Richard. Happy to.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Jhunjhunwala from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
See, I would like to know, earlier also gold prices have gone from, say, 2,000 rupees for 10 grams to 37,000 rupees for 10 grams. Isn't it that once prices rise, there is some period of which customer takes to adjust, but ultimately leads to higher sales? But I remember that full bull rise of gold from 2007 to 2013, our sales went through the roof. And I, for one, see this kind of long-term bull move in gold.
Possible, Rakesh.
Is it going to be contained at these levels?
Yeah, yeah. And even in those days, we used to, you know, see some kind of a slowing down in that interim period of a few weeks till people somehow got settled with the idea of the new price. So we are hoping that the same thing will play out, even though sometimes these things surprise us by not playing at all. But you're right.
In past, that experience has been that once gold price goes up, people adjust.
Correct.
It has to settle down rather than keep going up. I think volatility and a continuous rise in a short period is what we are talking about.
Typical customer sentiment, it goes from 100 to 150, they don't buy. It comes to 120 and comes to 130, then they buy. That's what customers do. Anyway, actually, during 2007 and 2013, when we had the gold bull run, our past sales went up, went through the roof.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mr. Jhunjhunwala, do you have any follow-up question?
No, I have no other questions.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Niket Shah from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just want to know that in this quarter, where jewelry growth has been slightly on the lower side, is it largely to do with southern part of India, or is it across India you've seen this kind of phenomena?
Actually, south has done reasonably well.
Okay.
West was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. South, actually most of south did well. Just one second.
So it's largely driven by west, that's such.
West and east.
Western. Got it. The second question I had is, if you can give some sense on how has been the product mix within the studded share in terms of color or clarity? How has that kind of moved up? Have you seen any downtrading happening? So, for example, if one customer would be buying, say, VVS1 is now downtrading to VS1 or something like that. If you can just share some insights around that, that will be very helpful.
Nothing in the quarter at all on that. Over the last so many years, it has actually come down to a high share of SI.
Okay.
But that hasn't changed much in the last maybe 18 to 24 months. We are at a reasonable equilibrium now on color clarity mixes within that.
Okay, so on the clarity part, it will be largely SI, and on the color, it will be between KL and KL or M category?
No.
Or will...
Or in the GH side.
GSI. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aarti Kapoor from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Harith here again. Just a couple of quick follow-ups. One was, the 2.5% increase in import duty, the benefit that we get on inventory valuation, would that have come in entirely in this quarter?
No, the price increase happened in July. The customs duty increase happened in July.
Yes, that will come in Q2, right?
Q3, Q4. I mean, it will depend on when actually we sell that stock.
Okay. And the second thing was, this difference between the primary sales and secondary sales, we would expect this to reverse pretty much immediately in Q2, right?
It should, except that it also depends on the retail sale in Q2.
Right. I mean, assuming September is a decent month, we should...
September is, but we're talking about the whole of the quarter.
Yeah.
So depending on how much is the growth in retail in the whole of Q2,
okay,
it may have a bearing because the primary sales of last year Q2 would be different from the retail sales of last year Q2 and all that.
Got it.
Right now, I don't have the number to comment, but it'll have a bearing.
Got it, sir. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Bajpayee from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Manoj here. This is regarding some basic consumer trends, especially in the jewelry bank in the younger segment of the population. So do you see any challenging trends emerging that the propensity for the younger generation to buy gold is lesser to compare to people who are in the age group of 35 to 45 years of age? If so, then what is the mitigation plan for this kind of risk arising for the younger generation not very, very true to gold and jewelry buying?
Actually, the fundamental reason why a young woman would start switching off fine jewelry is because of the reducing relevance of the offering to her in terms of price, in terms of style, in terms of wearability and all that. And our brand Mia was created 7-8 years back to address that likelihood. Our acquisition of CaratLane was further done to boost our thrust in that area, and we are very, very well placed to address that need, and therefore whatever is the reducing relevance, these two brands are well placed to deal with that, and the results of the two brands are reconfirming that our strategies are correct. So we are not worried about that. Also, the consumption in the jewelry industry is, I would say, almost like a 99% by women who are not young, who are 25 plus, other than the bridal jewelry where the family is coming to play as customers. And even there, our reinvention of wedding lines with more contemporary ethno-fusion kind of product lines with Shubham and Divyam and all that, including Riva, which is a full line, make sure that we've got all jewelry rightly focused on what women want.
So the line for the participant got disconnected. We move on to the next question. The next question is from the line of Oshama Sole from Rare Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Oshama.
Yeah, hi everybody. My question is about Tanishq. You had a same-store sales growth of about 10%. What I wanted to ask is that your new store performance, you know, the trajectory of that performance, is it in line with what you expect or what the past trends have been? Are there any pockets of challenges that you see there?
Hi, Ushma. If I were to, you know, give a sense of about 14-15%, I think, was the like-to-like same-store growth that we were targeting. And then another 2-3% was expected to come from, you know, we had a pretty decent store expansion last year. So the annualizing of that was expected to deliver maybe 2-3%. And another further 2-3% was supposed to come from new stores of FY20. On the first and the last, we've had challenges. On the second, which is the annualizing, obviously, okay, annualizing happened. But not only that, the rate of sale of those stores which were set up in FY19 was satisfactory in FY20 Q1. We were behind on our expansion plan, like I mentioned, significantly in Q1 in terms of number of stores as well as number of store months. Like-to-like was also only 10 as opposed to 14-15 that we were targeting.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you so much, Pastor. We've all learned a lot from you. You're going to be sorely missed. Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Ushma.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chinmay Gandre from Bharti AXA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Sir, in jewelry segment, our reported margins is 10.9%, and you mentioned about some reversal of loss in the current quarter from the previous quarter. So, presuming the reported margins would be, the adjusted margins would be around 10.5 or so for the jewelry segment versus 11% a year back, and your studded ratio is pretty much similar to last year. So, anything to read in terms of the margins of jewelry segment, like because gold prices fell, did we kind of had lower making charges or?
Actually, on this subject, I wouldn't worry so much about what got transferred from Q4 of FY19 to Q1 of FY20, because if we go back to Q4 of FY18 and Q1 of FY19, you'll have a similar thing. So, because of the both the accounting aspects of gold, the hedging aspects of gold, the results are quite, difficult to predict quarter on quarter. So we just take it as it comes. We got some of it back in Q1, like Subbu said, and it's part of the margin of the business. Like we got some of the gain last year, some of the loss year before last, and so on.
You should show four quarters rolling once in a while. Awesome.
So that's what I would suggest.
Sir, and another bookkeeping question. Sir, we have around 13 crore corporate unallocated income, which is normally a loss every quarter. I know there is ILFS which used to report over here, but anything in this 13.5 crore corporate unallocated segmental income?
17 it is, you know.
No, corporate energy unallocated will be corporate divisions, corporate departments. We don't allocate 100% of the cost of corporate to all the divisions. Okay, so there is a loss sitting there, which is the cost that we incur. That is offset by the interest income that we also get there and any other income. And therefore, this is the net amount.
But there is an income of interest.
Yeah, that's right. Net of that. Net of the interest income. Yeah.
Okay.
Chinmay, do you have any follow-up question?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today. I will now hand the conference to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for participating and for your very useful inputs. We expect to come back in the next quarter in a big way and in the next H2. Thank you. And thanks all of you for this wonderful engagement over the last several years. It's been a great amount of learning. From an unpad, I became quite savvy at answering your questions. I don't know whether I've been honest, but I certainly have been sincere. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Titan Company Limited, that concludes this. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.